This morning's first reading is taken from the book of Jonah. And it's a little disappointing that we're really only getting the middle of the story of Jonah. And I would encourage all of you to consider, when you go home, take out the scriptures and read the book of Jonah. It's a very short story, and it's unfortunate that we only get a little piece of it today. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Jonah. He's the one who got swallowed up by the big fish. And that's because in the beginning of the story, the first time God calls him, he runs as quickly as he can in the opposite direction of Nineveh to avoid preaching the prophetic word of God. And as a result of that, he jumps in a boat on the way to Tarshish, and they run into a storm, and the crew of the boat throws him into the sea in retribution for his not listening to God. So after Jonah is spewed out onto the beach from the big fish, that's when Jonah responds to God's call. And we hear the fascinating part of the story where this great city of Nineveh, where it takes 3 days to get through it, Jonah, in his first day, manages to preach the prophetic word of God with such efficacy that the entire city repents. And by decree of the king, word travels much faster, even faster than Jonah can keep up with it. Then, at the end of the story, we see how upset Jonah is because God repented. So Jonah is like no other prophetic story. Normally, in a prophetic story, the prophets are reluctant to preach the word of God. But when they begin preaching the word of God, usually the people who hear it don't want to hear it and will chase the prophet out of town or kill the prophet. So the story of Jonah is a lot different than the typical prophetic story. The reason I wanted to bring up that context is because I think it's so important for us to understand what it is that Jonah is doing in the prophetic word of God. Jonah is telling people that they're sinful and telling people that they need to repent. And for once, in the prophetic stories, the people actually listen and respond and repent. Today is a day where many Americans are looking at the concept of repentance, because today marks the 23rd anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit, not in political terms, but in terms of who we are and what we're called to be as Catholic Christians. I want you to listen very carefully to what I say. God is pro-choice. When I say that, I'm saying that God loves us so much that he gives us the freedom to make choices for ourselves. We see that in the scriptures. But God also provides us with the grace and the knowledge and the skill to make good choices, because God is also pro-life. In our responsorial psalm today, we prayed, "Teach us your ways, O Lord." I think sometimes when we hear the words Roe v. Wade and we hear the words pro-choice and pro-life, oftentimes we get caught up in the words from an emotional perspective. The words pro-choice and pro-life are often used as rhetoric by people who are trying to convince the other side that they're wrong. I wanted to talk about this because I really believe that as Catholic Christians, we have to spend a lot more of our energy trying to understand the whole story. A lot has changed since 1973. The rhetoric has gotten stronger. And the polarization of America has gotten broader. And I think that's unfortunate. But Nineveh was a big city. And Jonah preaching the prophetic word of God was effective. Our role is to be prophetic in how we approach the dignity of human life. It's very important for us to recognize that life, from birth to natural death, is of value. And we can't devalue life by referring to life as a fetus or a clump of cells, or referring to people who do atrocious things as scumbags and worthy of death. Ironically, in 1976, that's when the United States took the moratorium off of the death penalty. I don't think we mark that anniversary. As Catholic Christians, we have to recognize the value of human life. Jesus calls each and every one of us to do that. And he does it knowing full well that his example is all we need to see in order to see how valuable human life is. Making choices is exactly what God wants us to do. The difficulty is, more often than not, the right choice is the most difficult choice. So as we approach the altar today, as we celebrate this Eucharist, let us take the opportunity to pray to God to teach us his ways so that we can understand them and respond to the call that he asks of each of us.